As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Good morning. Our guest this hour, for a full hour, is Matt Cordio, who is a founder and partner at Skills Pipeline, Care Direct, and the Wisconsin Coalition, and a board member at the Milwaukee Tech Coalition, and an advisor to many high-growth companies in the Midwest, and a conservative. You're the first self-identified.
Wait, that wasn't part of the bio.
But welcome to the show. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming in person,
too. Great to be here. Glad I was the first one to walk the plank.
It's funny because we've reached out to a lot of people. Some are candidates, some are politicians, some are people who I know have gone on other radio shows. And you were the first to make it in studio, on air, to talk and have a civil conversation about our disagreements.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for you to be here.
Yeah. You know, I always love having conversations with people I disagree with. So,
do you prefer those?
Some of my best friends, some of my friends would be those that disagree with me the most. So,
it is. Yeah. Shout out to Eric Kennedy.
Well, he's actually one of the, we're all aligned, but, other places,
Yeah, absolutely.
Like to stir the pot.
You do like to stir the pot. I think when I announced on Twitter that you were coming on, there's some people who are very not happy that you're here.
Yeah, you're very brave, Kristen, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's interesting because you just said that some of your closest friends are people you disagree with. I would say I have felt more in an echo chamber as far as my life and having way more people, especially since getting back to Wisconsin. And as I started the show, trying to survey the network that I've been able to build, and it's certainly more left than it is right, obviously. And there's only a handful of people have been like, well, maybe they'll come on. But I think it's very important to have these conversations, especially as we live in such a purple state. It's not like we can have just half the population disappear. And in reality, in a more utopian situation, we'd find more collaboration and compromise, that where everyone's a little unhappy instead of just constantly winners and losers. But maybe you disagree with me on that.
No, I mean, ideally, right, in Wisconsin, it's like we're going to see these elections in a month or so, and, they're going to be within probably 1 or 2 points. I think the governor's race is a total toss-up, I think. Ideally, I hope Ron Johnson, he's a little bit further ahead of my friend Mandela Barnes, who I do call a friend, despite having some policy disagreements with him. So, we're a purple state, and I think that people in Wisconsin right now are pretty frustrated, and I think it's on both sides that our leaders can't come together and get more things done to move the state of Wisconsin forward. And I think both sides are to blame. I think we have a governor that has refused to work with the legislature, and a legislature that I think has been a little less than warm to dealing with, a Democratic governor who they may not agree with on many things.
But what would ever change that? Are we just in this cycle, and it's the only thing that will ever get done is when we have, say, Tim Michaels gets elected? So then we won't have split government anymore. Is that the only way things will start to actually be able to get done?
I mean, that's...
But then it obviously moves in one direction.
It's kind of what's happened at a federal level for the past, really, decade and a half at least. You look at compromise, it's, a dirty word in politics, it seems, here in Wisconsin or really anywhere. And it's unfortunate because it seems like we're, kind of going back and forth between, candidates who are the lesser of two evils, often in different elections. I think our last presidential election was a great example of
totally.
That. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks Donald Trump and Joe Biden were the, the sterling candidates, the most bright, young, and energetic visionaries that could have run for president or qualified for that job. So we're living in interesting times.
We're certainly living in interesting times. But I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you, I've talked about last week when this report first came out, but I think it's interesting because I always think of population and how you attract talent is a nonpartisan goal, right? Like, I think you and I could probably, despite policy disagreements, we both agree that what the Ford Analytics report said, which is that by 2030, Wisconsin, if we don't change something, is going to lose another 130,000 working age people.
It's alarming.
It's alarming. And so we need to course correct in some ways as far as how we attract people, how we keep people here. You are someone who's never left. You're from Wisconsin, never left. I'm someone who's from Wisconsin and came back. And so I'm interested because when I posed this question to Twitter, not surprisingly, a lot of the answers I got back as far as what would you, if you were in charge, what would you change? Much more social safety net, fund schools, childcare, and stuff like that. Where do you come down as far as what do you think would actually move the needle with getting people to... I mean, first,
on Twitter say eliminate the income tax?
I don't know. I know some people who would have. I certainly know Institute for Reforming Government. That is their big issue. And it's interesting because is that your answer?
I think it's part of a toolbox that we need to attract talent. I think there is, and the IRG report on eliminating the income tax, I think, does a great job of highlighting that Wisconsin has the opportunity because we have been so fiscally conservative and well-managed over the past decade when Scott Walker was governor and still with a conservative legislature. And now a governor that also is fiscally conservative and likes cutting taxes on his TV commercials.
He signed them.
He did sign them. And
you can't take it away from him. Whether he came up with it or not, he signed them.
He did also want to raise taxes $1 billion when he put his proposal in front of the legislature. So thankfully they got us a little bit of a rebate. But that being said, I think taxes is just one part of the equation. I think we have to look at how do we really make Wisconsin a great place to live? How do we aggressively market the state? And I'm not talking about putting billboards on subways in Chicago because we've tried that and it's failed. But how do we really get people like yourself that might have left Wisconsin to come and realize there's opportunity here in the state? And, I think a lot of that's hand-to-hand combat. It's actually going and reaching out to people that have left and, showing them it's a great place to live, work, play, raise a family. I think that's where we see an opportunity. And I think the report may have mentioned that people, might boomerang back to start a family here in Wisconsin. And we just need to look at how do we use the data that we have to bring those people back. And I think, too, at a federal level, I think we need to look at immigration as a solution. And how do we, I think neither political party is, now I'm going to create some controversy, neither political
Love
party,
it.
I think, is necessarily opposed to immigration. I think that, unfortunately, it's an issue that both sides have used to drive a wedge between those of us that just want to live in a healthy, happy, diverse society, and both have at times taken it to the extreme. But I think one of the areas where there should be bipartisan collaboration at a federal level is how do we get smart, talented, hardworking people from around the world to come here? We have the jobs in Wisconsin. We have the jobs elsewhere in this country. So it's how do we make that an efficient process? That being said, we also need to secure our borders.
And I think that is the problem that's not being solved, right? It is that both sides agree that there is, I don't know if both sides agree, because I also think that the amount of talking points as far as
Kamala Harris thinks the border is safe and secure right now. And there have been millions of people that have crossed this year, so... Just sharing facts.
No, I know. And so, so that's a good question then. So as far as not necessarily what that looks like, but from the immigration, most of the immigrants I know who either came here legally or not legally, because I know a lot of Europeans who have come here not legally and then they marry someone and that, but that was predominantly more New York or Chicago. And I know people in Los Angeles. And so those being kind of these flagship cities that when you grow up internationally, when you think of the U.S., there's kind of these big cities that hundreds, if not thousands, of movies and shows have been made on. But why would someone move to Wisconsin? Because our Green Bay Packer fan?
I mean, I definitely don't think like the Netflix documentary Dahmer is helping
no.
us with our marketing. Or is that John Stewart movie? I've seen that one, and that definitely was not accurate. I think that, we are a state that's been built by immigrants, German, Italian, really a ton of European immigrants today, a more diverse group of immigrants, obviously. And I think just with the numbers and the workforce shortages that are happening, population shortages that are happening, this isn't just a Wisconsin issue. We really need to look at how do we bring those people in too. As an entrepreneur and somebody that loves high growth innovation and technology, so many of our top technology companies are either started or led by immigrants. And we need to make it easier for those smart people to come here, create wealth here, and create jobs and help participate in the kind of American dream.
But what does that look like? Because the avenues to citizenship or the avenues for legal immigration are pretty limited, mm-hmm. right? And so you have a sponsor, you have whether it's like a family member, you have a school, you have an employer, and you have asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Those are basically your four avenues.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leaves not a lot of ways for people who want to come here and build a better life. Mm-hmm. If they don't have any of those four ways, then you're just stuck remaining undocumented.
Yeah, and I would say that there should be pathways to allow people that want to work hard and pay taxes and be productive citizens in the United States of America to become citizens, regardless of where they come from.
Aren't you referring to Dreamers?
Yes.
We're talking to Matt.
Are we making a breakthrough here?
Well, that's what I think. I feel like right now we're talking to Matt Cordio, who's a founder and partner at Skills Pipeline. And we're talking about population and migration of trying to get working age people to move to or stay in Wisconsin. And a lot of the things that you're saying, I feel like we actually agree on, which is like the need to embrace more immigration, because it's going to take a generation to even reverse where we are with birth rate, right?
Yeah.
And so that creates another issue as far as how do you feel about childcare? And that being,
I do think we have to look at the cost of childcare. And I think actually there's a candidate running for governor, Tim Michaels, who has put some forward some ideas around that. And how do we lower the cost and make sure that people that want to work can work and raise a family at the same time.
Which I think is good.
I agree. When are we going to disagree here?
I don't know. I guess what it comes back to, I think where we do disagree potentially is the income tax. Because I was looking at, so in the top 10 states that grew the most over the last 10 years, it's Idaho, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, Texas, South Carolina, Florida, Washington, Delaware, Montana. Only three out of those 10 have no income tax. And so I'm not saying, I get it, because I have friends, mm-hmm. I have high earning friends who've considered Florida or Texas or Puerto Rico as potential mm-hmm. places to go and not pay as much in taxes. So I get that that is a draw, but it's obviously not the only draw. And so I think we're not, and also a reminder, Nevada, Texas, and Florida do not have the climate issues that we have.
Yes.
Climate meeting temperature, not the actual. Because I think 10 to 15 years from now, it's actually going to be a much more.
And I think you look at too, Florida and Texas. I mean, I was just talking to somebody who moved here from Texas the other day, and they're like, we have winter, it's called summer. And mm-hmm. the state of Texas or Florida, same thing. I don't know who'd want to be in a swampy, humid environment. I'm not a huge fan of that. And when it happens in Wisconsin, so this is my perfect weather today. I think that,
hold on to that thought, because we gotta go to a break.
Okay.
But our guest this whole hour is Matt Cordio. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. back to As Goes Wisconsin with Christian Bry, our guest this hour until 12:30. He's been on since 11:30, is Matt Cordio. So we ended the last segment talking about startups, because obviously beyond politics, which you weigh in a lot on Twitter, your job is working in startups. And so I, as someone who has also worked in technology startups, not anymore, obviously, but when I lived in San Francisco, totally understand that a lot, when we look at that list of places where there has been population growth, I mean, when you think about Austin, Austin's like the second San Francisco now, right? As far as how many startups are there. And so what have you seen as blockers to having Milwaukee be Milwaukee that has three good universities, a diverse community, infrastructure as far as, I mean, geographically, we're very similar to Chicago, right? As far as like we're on a lake, we have rivers, we have greenery. So like, what do you see as the block? Is it investments? Is it?
I think it's a lot of things. You know, a lot of people would like to just say it's money, but I think it's partially cultural. I think we have a very conservative, and I wouldn't necessarily say politically conservative, business community, one that's you know, driven by leaders of large companies, which are great companies and great creators of jobs in the region, but not necessarily the most innovative, you know, necessarily innovative high growth companies that are going to create wealth and whatnot. I think, so there's the cultural component. There is a capital component to it as well. It's the right, having the right type of capital, and particularly where I see entrepreneurs struggle in Milwaukee, it's really getting that first check. I think once somebody has a great, you know, startup, they can raise money from anywhere in the country. You've seen companies like Bright Cellars, which is a wine subscription company, raised money from Steve Case, who's the founder of AOL and actually coming to Milwaukee next week during Milwaukee Tech Week, to talk about his belief that, you know, innovation and great ideas are going to come from anywhere. And he's investing in obviously companies based in Milwaukee and the Midwest. And, you know, I think Milwaukee's well positioned to be relevant in this kind of next phase of the internet, where we really have to solve hard problems. You know, healthcare, highly regulated, you know, issues with energy, highly regulated. I think, you know, the next wave of technology is going to be solved by people that have technology acumen, but really a business skill to build the right partnerships, to build the right business models to be successful. But we need to just seed as many people as possible, in my opinion, with their first check and empower them to go on their way. There's a similar city, you know, to us, not maybe geographically, but culturally, St. Louis. We have a much better lakefront than they do. I think they have a riverfront, but, you know, they've been very aggressive about attracting startups to their community. And one program that they have is called Arch Grants, where they literally every year give $1 million, $50,000 grants to entrepreneurs who either are in St. Louis, the St. Louis region, or are willing to move and relocate to St. Louis for 12 months and build their company. And they surround them with other resources too. And, you know, I've always been an advocate for how about we take a bet on 20 entrepreneurs a year and give them some significant seed capital. Because I think like business plan competitions, which are very popular, don't give you enough capital to really build your company and get it going.
But who's we in that situation? Like, is the city of St. Louis paying for that? Because obviously Milwaukee cannot pay for that as a city.
It's definitely not the city. It's a civic organization. So I think, you know, we historically, I don't think, have had civic organizations that have really understood how to build an innovation economy. That's changing with the Milwaukee Tech Hub Coalition, which I'm on the board of. You know, I think that was founded by a bunch of, you know, corporate leaders, Northwestern Mutual, Advocate Aurora Healthcare, We Energies, Johnson Controls, who realized that, you know, they need to foster a strong startup community here to grow the tech talent base for them to be competitive and remain, you know, headquartered here in Wisconsin. And, you know, I think organizations like that will play an increasingly important role in trying to drive the technological transformation of our region.
So we're talking to Matt Cordio, founder and partner at Skills Pipeline. So you see it as a private sector, I mean, because we're still trying to like talk about how do we attract people and how do we keep people here. And so I wanted to talk about startups because obviously if we have a thriving startup community, then that creates more jobs. But do you see that then largely coming from the private sector of funding those projects?
Yes. I mean, I think that the government could play a role. I think the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which is kind of a public-private economic development agency, could, you know, look at some program similar to this. I would encourage them to. But, you know, I think that ultimately what needs to be done is drive private investment long-term in these companies, because if the government's just handing out $50,000 to, you know, 20 random people a year, that's not going to be helpful. If there's a really thoughtful group of, you know, future investors in these companies that vet the applications that go into a program, that could provide the follow-on capital if those entrepreneurs meet the objectives they hope to over their 12 months. Like, you know, that's the type of smart capital that's needed. Now, the WDC does do a good job of already driving private investment and early stage startups kind of in the later phases of their growth. They have an angel investor tax credit, which has been super successful in terms of de-risking investments in early stage companies for investors. Investors are eligible to receive a 25% a state income tax credit equivalent to 25% of their total investment in a company. That's a qualified new business venture by the WDC. And, you know, that company is, that program has grown. And I think a program like that could be potentially modified to really look at trying to attract startups from out of state to establishing their operations here and then attracting private investment here in Wisconsin. Because, you know, we can look at it as Wisconsin, or we can look at it more regionally, and, you know, pretty much every Midwestern state, Minnesota, you know, they have venture capital activity and startup activity that's like 10 times the amount of venture capital. Sorry, it's $6 for every dollar of venture capital that's invested in a Wisconsin company. Minnesota is doing 6x that in terms of venture capital activity. And so, you know, they're a smaller state than Wisconsin too, I like to point out. So, you know, it's clearly something cultural. And I think Republicans and Democrats can agree this is actually, a great way to support free market capitalism and, you know, move the state forward as helping birth these new companies, which are shown to create net new jobs in our economy, create wealth, and, you know, create economic vibrancy.
So you mentioned the WEDC, and I had a friend who did some contract work with them while they were doing surveys and polling on this exact issue, this issue being attracting people to move to Wisconsin. And what do you think the number one barrier was, or the number one kind of like objection to moving to Wisconsin was from people who are not from Wisconsin, but trying to attract them to move here?
I'm going to get this wrong, probably. So I'll just say, you know, that they didn't like cheese.
It was reputation. It was their idea of what Wisconsin is. And like their idea of what Wisconsin is, and I love him and he's very funny, is like Charlie Baron's the guy, right?
Yeah.
It is like the fishing Packers backwards idea of what Wisconsin is as like flyover state. And I think it's also interesting because Mutual Connection, Anna Lardnoy, who writes for Milwaukee Startup News, she did a video for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which is what I also work there. And we did a video on, we're doing videos on for your consideration, where you pitch an idea of something that would be good for Milwaukee, something that would be good for Wisconsin. And she's talked about what's missing in for Milwaukee to really become a startup hub is us, is Midwest modesty. And we don't talk about ourselves very well. We don't promote ourselves very well. The fact that Summerfest is still largely an internal statewide thing instead of a countrywide thing. And also the same thing you talk about as far as the conservative investments of not actually investing in the projects here. So that becomes a bigger kind of squishy, not policy thing.
Yeah.
But as far as us just being able to promote ourselves better and being, especially if Minnesota's doing so well, it's not like we're not that different.
Minnesota, Michigan, Indiana has been actually under a conservative governor. Eric Holcomb has been very aggressive about growing the tech and startup ecosystem and attracting talent to the state. So I think it can be done.
Do you think we can change our reputation?
Yeah.
With more billboards?
I think we can. We probably, I would say, unfortunately, as I mentioned, the Dahmer Netflix.
Better things than Dahmer, absolutely.
Probably not helping us right
now. Bring back that 70s show.
Yeah.
Bring back Happy Days and something that shows us in a better light.
Yes.
Probably the darkest period of Milwaukee history. So tell us more about, just to take a little bit of a right turn, what your event next week with the Milwaukee Coalition?
So Milwaukee Tech Week happening next week, Monday, October 3rd through Friday, October 7th, is a week full of programming, trying to bring together people that are passionate about technology, startups, innovation in corporations, IT in different corporations, trying to bring all those people with different backgrounds together to look at the resources and kind of celebrate the fact we do have resources and we do have opportunities for folks in the tech sector to connect. But also it's meant to, you know, to a certain extent, bring people from outside the region and give them an opportunity to sample our tech sector and learn about the companies here that are building great products, whether they're, you know, a large enterprise or a small startup. There's some event that, you know, you're going to find relevant if you're even just enthusiastic about tech, or if you're a startup founder, or if you're a software developer at a local, you know, at Northwestern Mutual or something like that. So, you know, events that I'm really excited about, one is a startup showcase. It's always a great opportunity to highlight new companies that have really are getting off the ground and they need our support as a community. So, you know, they're there just to demo their products. And also, you know, if they're raising money, they'll probably hit you up. But, you know, they probably will hit you up for feedback. You know, they need help from customers or potential customers or just any connections at the early stage of a startup can be critical. Another event, I mentioned Steve Case, who's the founder of AOL, and now he's the chairman of Revolution Labs, is coming next Wednesday, and he's speaking at the third anniversary of the Tech Hub. Should be a great event in terms of bringing somebody national here to promote Milwaukee.
All right. We got one more segment with Matt Cordio, so if you have any questions or comments on what we've been talking about, 844-967-2789. Give us a call, give us a text. This is As Goes Wisconsin. All right, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest has been Matt Cordio. I thought this was going to be more contentious.
Sorry. Sorry for the folks out on Twitter too, and
thought there's gonna be more fireworks.
Yeah,
but we do have a couple calls and texts that came in during the hour. Carol wants to know what great childcare ideas have been suggested by Ron Johnson. I can't think of any.
I don't know
that he once said that your children are not society's problem. So I'm guessing he's not for a federally funded childcare program.
You know, I think Ron is a great supporter of Wisconsin families and, you know, look forward to him being our senator for the next 6 years.
All right. Next question. I want to know why a young couple planning to start a family would move to Wisconsin when there is currently no guarantee she'll get the medical treatment she needs if there are pregnancy complications.
Well, that's a great question. And I think that, I think there needs to be some certainty around, you know, what the laws are and, you know, regarding, you know, after the Supreme Court turned Roe versus Wade back to the states, I think we need to define, you know, what's happening there. And I hope we do it in a compassionate way that, you know, it makes people happy and want to locate here in Wisconsin.
How do you feel about a binding referendum on repealing the abortion ban? As far as what this, because a special session is going to be next week, and I think we all know they're going to gavel in and gavel out like they do. Mm-hmm. But as far as take what's likely out of the scenario, would you be in favor of letting Wisconsin voters vote directly like they did in Kansas and they will in Michigan on abortion?
I'm not opposed to the people having a voice in this debate, and I think it's something that both sides, unfortunately, have used, I think, as a wedge at times. Certainly going to play an important factor in this debate if you watch those TV commercials. I think it's unfortunate, but ultimately, I think a referendum would not be a bad thing.
Interesting.
Direct democracy.
That's what I say. I mean, we had this conversation last week, and we had a couple texts in as far as the slippery slope of Wisconsin becoming California, which always has referendums and direct referendums on things. But I feel like there is room to improve what we have right now, whether it be Final Five voting or more direct referendums that actually are binding, because right now it feels like we're a little stuck as far as very popular things mm-hmm. that have bipartisan support going nowhere mm-hmm. as far as Wisconsin laws in regards to Wisconsin law.
Yeah, and I mean, just I'm a pro-life conservative personally. I'm not somebody that believes that a male like myself would be making laws, though, that govern women. That's just my personal opinion. But I also see that on this issue that we need some clarity as to, what's law in the state of Wisconsin. And I think what was written in 1848 is not necessarily
Not relevant anymore.
What's happening?
Things are a little different than it was back then.
2022. I think we need just clear definition for everyone involved.
I've told this story before, but right after the Dobbs case came down, I was at Old World, Wisconsin, and I could only find one building at Old World, Wisconsin that was as old as our criminal abortion ban. Old World, Wisconsin. Everything else was more recent than that.
I don't go to places and look for that. But that's
well, I was already there. I was making a video for them. I was already, I was already there at the Brewing Experience, trying to do good things. But I was like, oh, while we're here, let's see what we can find. Jane, you have your mic pulled up to your face. Do you have a question?
We'd have a comment from a texter from the 414. I've been a resident in Wisconsin for 46 years. I'm currently thinking about leaving. I'm thinking about leaving because of poor social safety nets, union busting of the last 20 years, gerrymandering all but guaranteeing my views will never get adequate representation, and frustration with Republicans' love it or leave it attitude that is so typical here. Can your guest explain why he thinks I should stay?
Certainly.
Got 3 minutes.
Oh, no, we might need more than 3 minutes. But, I think that,
Well, I mean, we definitely don't have time to really get into it because one of the things.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. There. And I think there is it by design? Is continuing to union bust and try to push socially regressive, culturally different policies in that way, trying to drive a wedge and have people who are more left-leaning leave the state, mm-hmm. and so there can be it can be a one-party state, because that has been thrown out there as a motivation. I don't necessarily believe that.
I don't believe that,
but it's thrown out there. And when you can't answer that question,
I can see that, but I would say we could go into a whole gerrymandering debate and
See, now we're getting into it. When there's no time left, we're getting into it.
Look at what Illinois did and their redistricting.
Totally.
And it is what it is. It's the consequences of elections. So people should get out there and vote.
Very diplomatic answer. All right, well, we'll have to have you back. Maybe we can get into more contentious subjects next time, instead of largely things where it felt like we were agreeing and there was less There's less of a battle than I was expecting there to be.
Yeah, we should probably talk.
Who else should I get on here? That's my last question. Who else should I ask to come on?
I think there are a lot of great you know, people. I think some of them might be listening right now, and maybe they feel a little more comfortable after
I subjected myself to it. Am I that scary that they think that I was just going to go after them?
I don't know, but I don't know.
I'm like the softest softball goofy
person there is. The people that were a little more shocked that I was coming on your show are from the left, not the right. So,
interesting.
You know, sometimes we're more tolerant of other ideas on the right side of things. So a little less emotional, perhaps.
There's another right puns. All right. Well, Matt Cordio, thank you for coming on. Thank you for braving my tough questions. This was really fun. So I'll get that list of names of who else I should ask at the commercial break.
I don't want to put anyone on the spot. Sorry.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Matt, thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a break, and congressional candidate for District 1, Ann Rowe, will be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.